So turn to page 152 of your purple liturgy book. There was a misprint, and it's my fault. It's not the office's fault. It was my fault. So the reading today is on page 152 from Paul's letter to Titus. And the passage begins with Titus, my son, but if you see, it's actually chapter 3. So the letter didn't begin there. But when we put these, when the church puts these passages for reading purposes on a Sunday, they always put some kind of beginning so that we know that it's a letter to Titus. Sometimes it'll say, brethren, gospel readings will say, at that time, or Jesus said to those who believed in him. Those words are added for our benefit here in church. So Titus was the bishop, I guess, at that time in the church in Crete, and he had been converted under the direction of St. Paul. So St. Paul was kind of like his spiritual father. And now Paul is writing to him instructions and encouragement on how to, lead and govern the church there in Crete. So let's go the first part of the letter. It says, the saying is sure. Which saying is sure? And it actually is from the previous verses of the epistle, which aren't here, but they assume that we've memorized, the Bible. But it says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. Basically, in a nutshell, the gospel. So that's what Paul had written just previously. And he said, this saying, these words that I'm telling you, it's sure. Even though it's talking about some future benefits, because it says, to become heirs in hope of eternal life. Sometimes the future is, indefinite. We don't know. But he's saying this is sure in our faith. And then he continues and he says, I desire you to insist on these things. And in another translation says, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Which things? That God was good and merciful to us, even though we were sinners. And why does he want us to affirm? Why does Paul want to affirm? And why was God good to us? So that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. So God is good to us first, so that we can be good. It says God loved us. We love, somewhere else the apostle says, we love because God loved us first. God is the first actor in all this. So which are the good deeds that we are supposed to give ourselves to? He says, to help those who are ill-treated, to defend, support, and provide for widows and orphans, and not wait to be begged, but to preemptively care about them and take care of them. Now, that's not explicit in the epistle, but that's what the commentary that I read says. So notice, while fasting and prayer and staying up late praying and all those things, those are tools for us. But the good deeds that, to reflect God's goodness and love are those: justice, mercy, charity, love. But then Paul says, but avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels over the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. So stupid controversies, he's referring to the contradictions to the Christian faith posed by the Jews at that time. And, just put two and two together and you can figure out what that would relate to today, whether it's atheists, whether it's other kinds of so-called Christians trying to prove that we're wrong or something. But anyway, those are the stupid controversies that, while there might be a group of people that need to deal with those and to, confront those on behalf of the church, it is not beneficial for all of us, okay? And in this case, he's saying specifically, Titus, That's not your job. Don't worry about it. You take care of the church. Tell the people in the church what to do. He also says genealogies. Avoid genealogies as useless. And specifically here, it means tracing one's descent to famous or even holy people, and particularly the Jews or the Jewish Christians, you know, like to say, well, I'm from this and I'm from that tribe and I go all the way back to Abraham and yay, you know, maybe even to Socrates or Plato or the people that built the Parthenon. None of those things, you know, if you didn't actually write a book of the Bible, if you didn't actually part the Red Sea, if you didn't actually design and build, you know, artifacts and, you know, things, it can't really be proud. The only thing that we take credit for are our correct faith in God and keeping his commandments, which is to do good deeds and being a good Christian. Then he says to stay away from dissensions and quarrels over the law, and that specifically means quarrels over the Jewish law that are no benefit to Christians anyway, okay? And the Christian pastor need not waste time on that, since it does nothing to win folks over to Christ. Okay? So that's what he said to Titus, among so many other things. Now, you might wonder, why did we break the rhythm of reading? I think we're in Romans, you know, in the regular daily readings, and we're reading from Titus now. Is because today is the commemoration of the Holy Fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council, which took place in the 5th century. And you can look it up. I'm not going to tell you why we celebrate today the Fourth Ecumenical Council, but 3 or 4 times in the year we celebrate, you know, the Holy Great Councils. And it's just coincidental that a few weeks ago there was the Great and Holy Council in Crete, of all places. This wasn't designed that way. This Sunday would have happened whether or not they met in Crete. But if you're reading, you know, church news and Orthodox Christian news, you might be seeing some stories about some of the bishops did not sign one of the documents. And it was kind of known that they had some objections to it. And the objection, if I understand correctly, is to the document called Relations of the Orthodox Church with the Rest of the Christian World. And the big issue was whether or not you can use the word church to indicate anything other than the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And because the document reads, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the one passage, just so you know what's going on. It says, in accordance with the ontological nature of the church, which basically means as the church understands herself, her unity can never be perturbed. In other words, the oneness and uniqueness of the church is non-negotiable and can never be broken. In spite of this, or this having been said, the Orthodox Church accepts the historical name of other non-Orthodox Christian churches and confessions that are not in communion with her. Okay, so it's like saying, we accept, according to this document, to call the Roman Catholic Church the Roman Catholic Church, and not to say some other word than church. And so the discussion is, some people are saying, taking the word ecclesia, church, and saying that can only be used, you know, for the Orthodox Church. And other people are looking at the word and saying, you know, this word is an ancient Greek word. It was meant the assembly of citizens. It can mean all kinds of things. And when we say, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, there's all those qualifiers before. We don't say, and I believe in the church. If that were the case, then we would have to say, yes, we can only use church for Orthodox Church. But we qualify it. In the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, we believe that we are that. And this document is saying there are other churches who are not the one holy Catholic and apostolic church according to our self-understanding and self-awareness. So that's the discussion that's going on. And until such a time as, you know, they sit down and decide how to use the word in a very narrow way or in a broad way, I think everybody believes the same thing. Let's hope that it doesn't cause some kind of schism, because those kinds of dissensions and those kinds of quarrels, according to St. Paul, are of no benefit to us. But what is beneficial is to pray, so let's stand and pray now.